I just want to share a little bit from Philippians 1. Philippians 1, verse 3 says this: I thank my God every time I remember you. In all of my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And I just want to say, I thank God for each and every one of you. I thank God for your support and your prayers, for your faithfulness, for your loyalty, for your partnership. And as Paul reminds us, the purpose of our partnership is the gospel, is the good news of Jesus. That's at the heart of it all, isn't it? And he has to remain our focus for this day and for every day. Because he is the source of everything, as we've been worshipping, as we've been declaring. He is the source of our love. We love because he first loved us. He is the source of our life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life in abundance, in fullness. All of that made possible through what Jesus accomplished through his death and resurrection. So he becomes our confidence, our full confidence. The belief that we have that is founded on our hope, the biblical hope that is certain and secure, that is without question. We have confidence because we have a hope and a future that is going to be spent forever with him in the glory of eternity, beyond comprehension, so much more than we could ever imagine. As Paul says when he writes in Athens, he says, for in him we live and move and have our being. Everything we have is in him. I don't think we really grasp the full implication of what that means to be in him. It is who we are. It is a new life that we have. We are one with him. We're inseparable from him, from Jesus, both now and for all eternity. It's glorious. It's wonderful. But at the same time, we are all work in progress. We're not yet the finished article. I'm quite convinced that I'm certainly not the finished article. You're a long way ahead of me. But what we are never to forget, we are never to forget who it was who began this transformational work in us. It was Jesus. He is the one who began it all. He is the one who continues in it all. He is the one who will complete it all. That's what Paul tells us there. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He is the one who began it. He is the one who will finish it. He will do it all. And all that we need to do is that we need to live in a way that enables that to take place, that we don't get in the way, that we don't block it, we don't prevent it in any way, that we enable him to do everything that he desires to do in us. And he has so much. And it's an ongoing work, an ongoing process. But that is also the reason why I am confident and fully convinced that the work of God in each one of you will continue. And it will grow wherever God takes each one of us in the days to come. whether that's the King's Church, Lewis, whether that's elsewhere, whether you don't have an idea yet where that's going to be, wherever he takes you, he's going to continue that good work that he has in you. And of course, in every other aspect of your life, he is going to continue, he is going to complete his plan and purpose for your life. But it's also important, I believe, that we continue to be linked with others, that we live in a partnership. Hebrews 10 says this. He says, "So now wrap your heart tightly around the hope that lives within us, knowing that God always keeps his promises." I love the fact that God always keeps his promises. We all have been let down. People make promises and with good intents very often, but kind of stuff happens and it doesn't come about. But God always keeps his promises. He has the absolute ability to fulfill every promise he makes. And he does. That's a wonderful confidence that we have. But I love the way it says here in the Passion, it says that wrap your hearts tightly around the hope that's within you. In other words, it's not simply something that we talk about that's external, but it's right at the core of our being. We have this inner hope. It becomes an inner reality, and it's from that inner reality that an outward expression comes, because we have this hope, steadfast, certain, sure, in him. And so as we do that, it goes on to say, discover creative ways to encourage others and to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works. And I'd have to say, you're great examples of that. You're great encouragers. You're great motivators. And my prayer is that you'll continue to do that, wherever God puts you, wherever you go, whatever the future has for you, that you take with you that same heart of encouragement and do that in that place. It's all an expression of the love that God has placed within us, that we live and we act in that way. But then it goes on there in verse 25, "This is not the time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning." You know, there's been a shift that accelerated as a result of lockdown, and many never returned to meeting together, although we've been very blessed here people did and so on. But you know, online church that some people are still engaging in is not the same as meeting. Those of you who have had the delights of Zoom understand that, because you know, you don't get the interaction on them, do you? It's very, very one-dimensional. You don't get the communication. Often people say, "Can you hear me? Can you hear me?" Because you're just not getting any sense of feedback on it, that there's something about tangibly being present. I mean, it's great that they have these resources for people who are housebound, who are frail and can't meet, but there is something about meeting together that actually nothing else can replicate. And we kind of need to recognize why we meet, because when we meet, we each have something to contribute. There's something about it. It's not simply you go there to receive it. I mean, even your presence. Your presence is meaningful. It has purpose. It encourages it. But there's so much more that takes place as we meet. But more than that, we have been created for community. We've been created for community because we all carry something of the image of God. Because our God is a God of community in the sense that he is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And he's saying, as we carry his image, we too, there's something that actually we need one another. We each carry something unique. And as we come together, there is a coming together that all those different expressions of what God has placed within us. And we're given another reason, an added urgency, if you like, he's talking about because of that day. And when we are seeing what is happening in the world around us in the day in which we live, that day comes into focus even more. That day being the day of Christ's return. We sense the shift of the times. We sense the urgency. We sense the closeness of those times. That day may be, well, it will be the day when God takes you to be himself, but that's the goal, that's our destiny, that's the ultimate purpose. That's what we need to keep in focus each day. But in that, it may be when we come to the end of our physical life here and God comes and takes us to himself, it may be when Christ returns again and he brings the whole of this age to an end and draws us to himself. There is a completion that is going to come about. For those of you who have ever bought a house, the key moment in that is when you get completion. It's always when you get completion. That's kind of the goal in a house purchase, isn't it? Because when you get completion, you're able to enter into a new home and enjoy it. It's yours. You're now there. There is a day of completion. There is a certainty for each one of us, but there is a day of completion that is coming. A day of completion when we enter into the fullness of everything that God has for us in Jesus. We can think about it, you know, going back to the house, when you're planning on going to a new house, you've got all sorts of ideas about it and what you're going to do and what needs to change and what you're going to, you know, all the things about it. But, you know, when you get there, there are loads of things that you hadn't anticipated, there are loads of things you hadn't expected or thought about, and it could be so much more than you imagine. And I'm totally convinced that when we see Jesus face to face, when we get there, when we're there, when the completion, the final completion of this age comes, it is going to be infinitely more than anything we could ever have imagined. So much better, so much more. Because God is bigger and better and greater than anything that we could imagine. And most of all, on that day, what I'm looking forward to is we will see him face to face. We have glimpses of him. You know, Paul talks about it, just that image, but it's face to face. And there's something about that John says. He says, when we see him face to face, we will be like him. The oneness will be complete. Why? Because we'll see him as he is. We see the fullness of our glorious Saviour and Lord. We see him. And is that what you're looking forward to? There's nothing that compares with that. We will see him. And right now, in the meantime, as Paul also said, we're being changed from glory to glory. There is a process going on in us as we gaze upon him, as we spend time meditating on him, as we press into the intimacy of his presence that he so longs for and he's encouraging us and drawing us into. But that day will come when all of that is complete and we see him face to face and we enter into the fullness and the then has then arrived and we will be with him forever. Don't you just long for that? Don't you just love the idea of that? And Paul goes on to say there in Philippians, he says this in verse 7, "It is no wonder I pray with such confidence, since you have a permanent place in my heart. You have remained partners with me in the wonderful grace of God, even though I'm here in chains for standing up for the truth of the gospel. Only God knows how much I dearly love you with the tender affection of Jesus, the Anointed One." Well, we are coming to the end of a season here, aren't we? But can I say you will always have a place in my heart? You will always have that place. I know I'm not very good at outwardly displaying all these things, but you will, more than you imagine, really. And as I think... thank you. And thinking about it, you have remained partners through thick and thin, and that's very special. Kept going through COVID and lockdown, kind of a distant memory now, isn't it? But you know, can you remember that season? Tough one, wasn't it? Kept going through it, navigating all the challenges of life, missing those who are no longer with us, tolerating all of my weaknesses and inadequacies, of which there are sadly way too many. And I have to say again, you know, I'm sorry for the many ways in which I have failed and screwed up and just caused chaos and all sorts of things. I'm sorry for that. This is a prayer that Paul says, and this is my prayer too. This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insights. If I can ask, I'd love that to be your prayer for me. And it'll certainly be my prayer for you. My prayer that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insights. And remember, this isn't simply about intellectual knowledge or head knowledge, but an intimate and personal growth and depth of the knowing of Jesus. It takes us so much deeper. There's a depth that there is to go in. And then it says, that so that you may be able to discern what is best. Discernment is such a key gift. And I think it's something that is so important, and maybe more important than it ever has been, because we live in a world that is just awash with so much information, so much. Everybody's got an opinion on something, and you know, you can look online and you can find all sort of anything that is there, and some of it, if you're on social media, just, you know, arrives on your phone or whatever, or you get those emails that just get downloaded to you, drops into your account. And some of it, well, superficially it can look okay, but then actually when you look a bit closer and look a bit deeper, it's not perhaps what you thought it was. We need discernment to know what is good, what is right, what God is saying, what God is doing, what he's asking of us. So that he says, this is a prayer that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. And that takes us back to something I shared at Easter. If you don't remember it, you can listen to it again. It's on the website. But essentially, what we're saying is the only way to be pure and blameless is to be totally devoted to Christ, as a bride is devoted to her bridegroom as she waits for him, ready at a moment's notice. That's how we're to live, with that devotion, pure and blameless. And, you know, a significant number of the parables that Jesus told have this in mind, and the tragedy of not being ready. Just check out the parables and you'll discover so many had that as the punchline. Be ready. You don't want to be unready. You don't want to be taken by surprise. Be ready. Live in a way that is expectant. Live in a way that equips you to be ready for this day that I believe we all sense is getting close. And as we wait, verse 11, we are filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. I just love that we're not just clothed in righteousness, although obviously that is essential, that we're clothed in Christ's righteousness. How precious that is. But there's something more, that we are to enable his righteousness that he has clothed us with to become fruitful in us. There's a fruitfulness that comes when we live in this way. There's something that manifests itself. And as a result of that, it takes us full circle yet again, and it results in glory and praise to God. That's where it takes us. So that's my prayer for each one of us as we're journeying through this time. So Father, we just thank you. We thank you that you draw us together to yourself. Lord, we come individually, but we also are connected with every other brother and sister in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are still at work in each and every one of us. We thank you, Lord God, that there is so much more to come. There's an exciting journey still to be encountered. There's more depths to be plumbed. There's more heights to be reached. There's more of you to encounter. Lord, I pray that each one of us would be so firmly and completely in you, Lord, that you would be able to accomplish all that you planned for us. We bless you for each one of us. We bless you for what you've established and what you are continuing to grow. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to pursue you each and every day until we enter your glorious eternal presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.